the mechanism of fire, the deglorification of men, and the glorification of God. The events that are foreboding upon the earth in the last days, and the redemptive operation of God foreboding upon the earth in the last days is declared by this seemingly obscure voice in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3. This obscure voice crying in the wilderness, this unfulfilled ministry, this unfulfilled prophetic purpose of Almighty God, foreboding upon the earth, here declared by a voice that will prepare the way of the Lord. God will not bring this fire upon earth without raising up men to cry the alarm of its impending doom. God will not bring His redemptive fire and burning upon the earth, according to prophecy, without raising up interpreters, so that men who are perishing in the fire might find reconciliation, peace, and hope in the salvation of their souls, and thus be delivered through the fire rather than perishing in it. There has never been so bold a worldwide declaration as this, and there will never be until the fulfillment of this text and all of its stages of glory such an overwhelming deluge of fire that will captivate the minds and hearts of all men upon the face of the earth, so that it shall be fulfilled as it is written in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That which is normally on this magnitude hidden, especially to the heathen, and in the days of the most glorious revival of covenantal idealism, the glory of God overflows and shines beyond the borders of Israel and amazes the heathen, or terrifies the heathen. But this is a worldwide revelation. This is a worldwide revelation where it doesn't say all states or all nations or all known peoples, like in the East as opposed to the West. But it says all flesh. All flesh will see a suddenly revealed and formerly hidden manifestation of the glory of God. And there is no more practical and powerful, no better way to describe or declare, or no better way to prepare the way of this coming revelation of glory than a voice crying, saying in verse 6, all flesh is grass, And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth. The grass withereth. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 6. All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. Man's life in all of its glory as grass is dying. Man's life in all of his goodliness as the flower of grass is fading. This is the burning up of the glory of man. This is the overwhelming revelation of the vanity and frailty and fragility of human life, of inglorious, depraved man. Inglorious, depraved man. Man reduced to his true stature. Inglorious dust, inglorious ashes, inglorious nothingness. The grass withereth. This is the process of burning. The flower fadeth. This is the process of dying. In the 70th week of Daniel, the latter 3.5 years especially will be filled with dying. And it says here, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is blowing upon men. This is a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning. Isaiah himself clarifies this in the earlier parts of Isaiah. This thread of prophetic doctrine is woven throughout this entire book. In this passage here, this seemingly obscure prophetic voice is not to be interpreted by itself. Because if you have been following the message of God through Isaiah the prophet from the beginning, these words will have pronounced meaning to your soul. These words will strike you with amazement and wonder and awe, and cause you to scan left and right throughout the pages of Isaiah to absorb all of what this declaration means because of its enormous significance. Surely the people is grass. That is, we can be absolutely sure, 100% confident, that God will make man so to feel as grass. The grass withereth, verse 8. The flower fadeth. The steady descent of mortal men to the gates of death will be the commonwealth of earthlings worldwide. They will be crushed under his wrath. They will be bowed down under his wrath. They will fade under his wrath. They will wither under his wrath. And as you read and take in all of the divine purposes declared in Isaiah chapter 40 alone concerning what he is going to consume, what I have here written, the consuming fire, the objects being consumed, and the correlating mechanisms of the consumption. If you were to take in the message, even of just one single chapter, you would find the first ever proclamation of the gospel. The first ever prophetic utterance that made the declaration good tidings or gospel is being proclaimed in a scenery where the fires of Elish Okla have bathed the earth, where the smoke rising from the ashes is rising up all around you, everywhere you look, everywhere you can see, in a landscape thoroughly bathed with fire, where all of inglorious man is burning and fading and withering. This scenery is where the Lord has chosen to declare the first ever proclamation of good news. Isaiah 40, verse 9. Good news. Everything I just stated to depraved, sinful men is bad news. Is the most horrifying message they could possibly imagine. Like the landscape of earth being turned into a hellscape. The kind of horror and hopelessness that men would muse upon as holy angels are casting their immortal bodies and souls into the lake of fire. The brief moments of reprieve that they have as they are forcefully cast into the burning lake after the great white throne judgment. A time to be relished in, I'm sure, by the souls just emptied out of hell, joined back with their damned bodies, so that as a body and a soul, they would stand before the great white throne before they are forcefully, against their will, cast into the lake of fire. Moments of reprieve from the fire, only to hear the dreadful voice of Almighty God from the throne in Christ, judging them, opening the books, shaming them, heaping upon them His angry disapproval, His holy indictments against their immortal souls. Until the books are closed and all the judgments are uttered and all of heaven is shouting hallelujah as these evil, immoral, depraved souls are cast into the lake of fire. See, beloved brethren, the world has been confronted with this eternal destination of fire in hell or fire in the lake of fire. This is commonly known among sinners. Sinners all over the face of the earth. It's rare you'll find one who doesn't know about this. Relatively speaking. But this is not the fire that's spoken about here. This is a revelation of the glory of God on earth within time in one generation to reduce the glory of man to ashes. To make men feel what they are in truth. As grass. Fading. Withering. Dying, mortal men, inglorious, depraved men. This moment of true human honesty, when men are reduced to their inglorious estate as this, as grass, through the burning of Elish Okla, this moment will become the most glorious proclamation of the gospel the world has ever seen. And more Gentiles will be converted to Christ in this time and in the subsequent 10 generations than all of the former centuries and millennia combined. So that Gentiles like a sea in quantity and even all the unconverted ones who willingly submit to the Messiah, howbeit imperfectly, they too will honor Christ, pay him homage, sing to him, and rejoice before him, and come to the outer edges of Jerusalem with covetous longing and envy, peering into the holy grounds as they are banished on the outside. There will never be highways, songs, trains, caravans, pilgrims, as there will be in this time, because the burning is to make things better. Because the consummation, which is another word for a total consumption, the consummation is for a restoration. God reduces the earth to mourning to turn their mourning into joy. This is the message of the prophet Isaiah. This is the fruit of the good tidings. It is necessary that he would abase men. And therefore, this is truly a marvelous message. A necessary fire. An amazing situation to behold. A landscape thoroughly burned with fire and smoking with heat. And then comes the proclamation. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest the gospel, good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah. Three words that captures the essence of the gospel. Behold your God. We know that the Sixth Advent War will be a literal, physical manifestation of Jesus Christ on Earth's skyline. We know that the heavens and earth will be on fire, that he shall deal out vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in flaming fire with his holy angels, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We know, according to Isaiah chapter 66, that by the sword and by fire, Christ will plead with all flesh. We know that this will be physical. This will be literal. This will be inescapable. This will be overwhelming. This will be a worldwide battle that takes place and comes to its conclusion in 30 days, approximately. Somewhere around from day 1263 to 1290. The battle will commence. The second advent of Christ, the last trumpet will be blown, and he will descend upon Jerusalem and then redirect the armies of heaven into a worldwide battle after he has captured Jerusalem by himself, treading the winepress of the wrath of God alone. We know that this is the testimony of the prophets. And this terrifying, bloody, destructive, descending warrior from heaven will force all men on the entire face of the planet to come into submission to him, or they will die. Nevertheless, we dare not wait for that time to behold the Lord, the King of Glory. It is those who procrastinate and are blind and cannot see until he comes visibly before their eyes. It is those who procrastinate this heavenly vision and refuse to see it through the words of the prophets, who refuse to search it out. It is they, most of them, who will perish in that day. But before this happens, another fire will break out. And it is our objective today to trace this fire, to understand together the nature, person, and work of Elish Ogla, according to Isaiah. To understand the person and work of Elish Ogla, according to Isaiah, to trace it, to follow it from beginning to end. And hopefully to observe together, fundamentally, basically, the consuming fire itself, the objects being consumed, and the correlating mechanisms.
Help us, O Lord. Help us to be bowed, O God. Help us, Lord, to be humble before you, Lord. Help us, Lord God. Please help, Lord. Show us your glory, Lord God. Please, Lord. Help us to see your glory now. Help us to have understanding now. Help us to have true knowledge now. Eyes to see and ears to hear, that we can praise you with our lips and understand your doctrine. So that, Lord, through the mechanism of fire, all of our pride would not be reduced to leanness, and we would cry unto ourselves, woe unto us, woe unto us for the leanness. And so that we would flee from the pit and the snare, and fall into another, Lord God, divinely schemed calamity, Lord God, encroaching upon our souls, as is written in Isaiah chapter 24. For the stubborn refusal of men to look to their Maker and rid him of glory.